Mackie Davis creates beautiful, colorful, abstract multimedia works, large panels and canvases of texture and shape that seem to ask the viewer to listen. Listen to the painting. Listen to themselves. Mackie came of age as an artist during the feminist movement of the 1970s. She's called Atlanta home for some 17 years now, but she's mostly remained a hidden gem on the local art scene. That is, hidden until now. At 72, Mackie Davis is experiencing something of a career renaissance. The Sandler Hudson Gallery has signed her on, and her first major commercial exhibit in decades opens tonight. I spoke with Mackie about this exhibit and her impressions of Atlanta's arts economy. Mackie, it is remarkable that you have been a highly regarded artist for many years, for decades now. But for the most part, you shied away from the sort of careerism or self-promotion marketing, if you will. And that's not a bad thing. Artists need to eat, live. But what do you think of this attention now? This is your first commercial show. This is a major gallery, Sandler Hudson. And you've moved to the goat farm. How does this all feel coming now?
Well, it's thrilling, I have to say. I am very, very grateful for it. It's scary because it's the first time I've really put myself out in this way. But it takes a long time for some artists to find their voice through all of the challenges that we have. And to stand behind it and say, I'm ready. I haven't been ready. And I've taken the time intentionally to just allow myself to develop the ideas behind the work. And when I put a few images up on my website and on Facebook, that's when things started happening. And Sandler Hudson was the first to contact me, and they came to the studio and said they wanted to represent my work. So I was over the moon.
This certainly is an example of how wonderful technology can be.
Yes.
Yeah. In reading some of your background, I was struck by your interest and advocacy for feminist art and how difficult it was in the early 70s, in the mid 70s, when you were first establishing yourself, because there just weren't many women artists recognized, much less being featured in major gallery exhibitions, let alone museums.
It's true.
Do you think society has made strides in recognizing the value of women artists?
Well, until our most recent election, I think that we have made great strides. And I think there is a greater equality. Women are being listened to. Women artists are being listened to. This year, in particular, there have been wonderful exhibitions of women's work. There's a beautiful exhibition at the Mint Museum right now on women in abstraction, which I'm going to see next week. And, Georgia O'Keeffe is at the Guggenheim. We've had great shows, and it's going to continue. So I think there are gains. I'm not sure that the gains translate into really major prizes for women artists. I think Europe might be a little bit ahead of us, but I also think that I can't not be vigilant about representing who I am as a woman artist. I think it's really important. I mentor other women artists. I love that. And, you know, I want the same thing for them that I have now achieved here with this show. So I'm very excited about being able to do that.
You've said Atlanta's a tough market for artists. Why?
Well, I lived in Miami for 17 years, and I was there through sort of the lean years, and then it's actually where I came out as an artist. It's where I was, quote, discovered. And over time, Miami became a cultural capital, and it is now just this extraordinary place, just as I was leaving. And all of the pieces were in place. There were really great arts advocates at all levels of both government and in the community. Atlanta is tough because we don't have that kind of cohesion. We also don't have the collectors here. And so without collectors, there's very little energy. You know, bless Debbie and Robin's hearts for keeping that gallery open for over 25 years. It has not been easy, nor the other galleries that are in town. And it hasn't been easy for the artists, of course. But one thing that I can say about the artists in Atlanta that I have deep respect for is that there is such a strong grassroots movement here with places like Wonderroot and the Goat Farm and just people getting together and saying, look, we have to do something here. If nothing else happens, we can't let it not happen. So there's a grassroots effort. It's strong, and I know it will continue.
What could Atlanta do to be better for its artists? I mean, you've mentioned some of these very dedicated gallery owners. When you talked about collectors, the first thing that came to mind is there is no shortage of wealth in this town. And yet?
Well, there is a shortage of appreciation for the visual arts. I think I can say that with feeling fairly secure. I mean, we don't have a very robust and exciting public art program. We have a public art program, and that's a wonderful thing. But when you compare it to other cities, it just doesn't measure up. And I've said that from my early days here 17 years ago, and it hasn't really improved that much. So, you know, when I fly out to another airport in Chicago and see Jun Kaneko's sculptures in the scattered everywhere, or Michelle Okodona on the floor at the Miami airport, I long for something as wonderful as that, to be surrounded by beautiful, contemporary, exciting art. That's what we need here.
So
we need a consciousness.
And how can we, if not develop the consciousness, at least nurture it? Do you think there's some sort of grassroots effort that people who appreciate art, who would love public art, something we can do? Or does it just all require funding? And
If I can only compare it to what I experienced in Miami, when Miami really didn't have the presence that it has now, I will tell you that the art in public places, Michael Spring, and he's still there, was a leader. He was a leader. The director of visual and performing arts for the Dade County Public School System, Jackie Hinchey, was a leader. She put in place in the public school system a K through 12 arts program and then extended it to the college level. Magnet arts programs. When you have a school system that educated visual artists, and I'm not talking just about practitioners, but people who understand the arts, you have a public art program that is being placed throughout the community, and you have government that supports that, a park and recreation program that supports it, and you have a good handful of collectors. The Rubels came down from Chelsea and established Wynwood, which is now a part of the arts district. That's where I had my studio years ago. And it was the worst district in the county. It was the most unsafe place. And now it's like the arts district. Hmm. So somebody's got to wake up here and get behind it. And it has to be a partnership between government and private. The corporations that we have here, all this money that we have, there are people here that want it. I mean, the Beltline is probably the best example of leadership that can make something happen. So if that kind of energy is here, then why not put it into the arts as well?
You are preaching to the saved.
Choir, right?
The choir, the saved. Maggie Davis, thank you so much, and congratulations on this show.
Lois, you're a dear. Thank you.